Good morning, Michael. Can anybody hear me?
I can hear you, Felix.
Good morning. Good morning. How's everyone?
Doing okay. How are you today?
Good. Looking forward to a rainy weekend. Hopefully, we'll get a bunch of rain in. Put this fire behind us.
I am all for that.
What a challenge.
Yes. I've given up on my garden. It's either frying or drowning.
Yeah, the rain we had a week today was just crazy, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. The tomatoes did not like them. That and the hail.
No, it's...
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Luis. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Morning.
Morning.
I got your message, Luis.
Sounds good. We have Tony on the line yet?
I just submitted some more folks in, so he might be on now.
Okay, Tony, are you on?
Yes, I'm here.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mr. Dornkamp, are you on?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and Pam, are you on? Mrs. Nelson, are you on?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Hey, about a minute to go, guys, and we'll get ready, get started. Everybody, today is Friday, June 26th. This is Los Angeles County Board of County Commissioners acting in the capacity as Board of Human Services special meeting, and I would like to call this meeting to order. Commissioner Felix Lopez, would you please lead us in an invocation?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come this morning, and Father, we ask that your guidance, your presence, continue to be with us on a daily basis. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to do the business that you have called us to do. Thank you for your presence, and thank you for all the people that are here. In your name we ask all these, amen.
Amen. Commissioner Hass, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, gentlemen. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Hess?
Here.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Here.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
I'm here. Approval of the agenda. Any changes or additions, Mr. Aragon?
No, not at this time, sir.
Entertain a motion, please.
Make a motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. New business, considerations of DHS office protocol regarding family engagements. Mr. Aragon.
Good morning, commissioners. Again, thank you for joining me on a Friday at 8 a.m. I apologize for the timing, but today in front of you, I have a protocol of limited public access to the DHS offices here. As we move forward with the Safer at Home order, and also because of our shutdown to the public back in March, as the courts have reopened, we also need to begin some of the reunification processing with families and children. We've been doing that via the ability to do it in public locations such as parks or other areas. However, last week I watched a family visitation that was disrupted due to weather, inclement weather. I've also seen some issues with distribution of our EBT cards at the door because of the weather. And I'm concerned that if we do not have the ability to allow folks into the building at a minimum protocol, that we will also have issues with continuing those services in an appropriate fashion. And so in front of you today is a protocol that template was provided to me. I've drafted and had Mrs. Nelson review. And so it is to allow for only our child welfare unit in regards to family visitations during adverse weather to allow the use of our family visiting room. And then also for the distribution of our EBT cards via the door, should we have adverse weather, we would allow one individual at a time within the building in order to pick those cards up.
Mr. Aragon, the health department had an opportunity to review your protocol.
I have sent all of this information over to Ms. Gonzalez. I have not heard back from her at this point. I did follow up with her, but I assume that because she's busy, this protocol that's in front of you is to allow the access. We are also putting forth several guidelines, which I will provide to the board for review based on the Health Department's recommendations, as well as based on Ms. Chavez, our emergency management for the county's recommendations as well.
Okay, and what is the effective date you were considering?
Well, we were considering July 1. However, if we don't have those processes in place, then I would ask that July 15th be our next available date for reopen.
Mr. Aragon, on the protocol that you are recommending here, so all the information and the data that's going to be collected on a daily basis is going to be filed with HR at the end of the day. Is that also, maybe Ms. Chavez is on the line, is that also going to be simply in the event that we have a case that we can do contact tracing, or would that also be shared with the Health Department?
Correct. So what we would do is, should there be a case of COVID or a potential case for exposure, we are actually requiring the staff here at DHS who would be setting up those visitations to get all contact information for the visiting parties. And when they come in, they would be screened. So the front desk would actually have, and security would have that information prior to them coming in. We're only allowing one visit per day. At any given time. Again, we're still trying to utilize the park next door to the building in order to do that. But yes, if something were to happen, we would have all appropriate information of contact that we would be able then to turn over to both our emergency manager as well as the Health Department for notification.
So if I may interrupt, it's Kim. So yes. They also should be logged, and I believe that whoever is letting people in now, I've seen a couple of different people log that Larry has logged. So I believe he's already logging them in. We need to make sure he continues to log in the public as well.
Okay. Correct.
Another question. I think it's, do you have sufficient spacing for the social distancing when you're allowing individuals to walk, you know, from your employees and the public?
Yes, so the distancing, and I did receive some signage from Ms. Chavez yesterday regarding the use of the elevator as well, and the limited number of people accessing the elevator at any given time. So I do believe that we would have the spacing available to do so.
Thank you.
What about the cleaning? Do you have arrangements for cleaning since your Keith is only there in the morning?
Essentially, we would have our disinfectant continue every morning with our maintenance. However, the case aides are aware, and so is child welfare, that once an individual leaves, we will need to disinfect that room. And so what I'm asking them is to try and get those visits done in the morning so that when our maintenance man is here, once those visitations are done, we can actually have him go in and sanitize the room before he leaves for the day.
Right,
and also any locations that they have passed through will also be disinfected.
Ms. Nelson, do you have any concerns on this plan or operations?
I do not have any concerns. I would point out Mr. Aragon specified the main reason for it, the visits and the EBT cards. But just so that everyone's clear, that will not be the only time that the protocol may be used. Per the state, they have certain things that they need to provide, which may require a party coming in. And legally, we have to follow with them as well. One I can think of in one of our DNN cases, we have an attorney who's made a formal request for discovery to view the file. So we have to comply with those procedures, and the protocol would apply to those as well. So just so that the board is aware that it may be used in other instances, but however, DHS will strictly follow the protocol, and those are kind of outliers, once every blue moon things that happen.
This is Tony. So I have one concern. Is this protocol subject to the review of the Health Department first, or are we going to?
I don't believe so. I know that he's provided it to Kim. She hasn't reached out and said anything concerning with it. And I will point out to the commissioners that I do believe that Kim was okay with a protocol almost identical to this when we implemented it for the third judicial.
Also, if I can just let you know, Kim Gonzalez did come over yesterday and toured the building, and we did talk about whose decision it is to open up and how much, and she did say that it was up to the board how much they wanted to open up and if and when.
Hey, Kim, this is maybe a question on one of the, on the protocol. There is a line that it says, and all facilities will listen, will be disinfected with COVID-19 approved materials. Is that, I mean, do we have to put that in there, disinfected with COVID-19 approved? I just want to make sure that, you know, we're using the highest. I mean, is that not implied?
It could just say disinfectant. We're struggling finding some Lysol wipes and stuff, but Kim, the health department recommended we do, and they offered, they have a bunch of bleach, bleach with a water mix, and yes, they put Fabuloso in there, and they offered to bring us some bleach if we needed some, but they don't have any wipes. Theirs are on back order as well as ours. But I think having the word disinfectant in there is fine. It doesn't have to be specifically called COVID.
Yeah, I would think that would suffice, Council. I would refer to you. I just, you know, I'm probably getting too much in the weeds. I know that when we say COVID-19 specific, should anything ever happen, and that for whatever reason, you know, the manufacturer doesn't meet all the regulations, I think I would agree with Ms. Chavez. You know, disinfectant is probably sufficient to address that.
I would agree with Ms. Chavez as well. Disinfectant is a sufficient enough word in there, keeping in mind that this is the protocol that's put in place, but everyone is still under state and local health department orders, which do require that the type of disinfectant used be in compliance with COVID. So this is just kind of reinforcing that. So I think putting disinfectant in this protocol is sufficient.
Thank you.
Okay, everyone, do we have any more questions or concerns? I believe we can entertain a motion this time to accept the protocol. May I hear a motion?
I'd like to make a motion to accept the protocol as presented by Mr. Michael Aragon for the DHS partial opening.
With the one amendment, correct? The disinfectant, the word disinfectant?
Correct. Yes, thank you, Commissioner Haas.
Second.
Commissioner Haas?
Wait, hold on. I think the word disinfectant is already in there, so I don't think it's with an amendment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the way I read it.
I think Commissioner Felix Lopez wanted to take out the COVID-19 disinfectant and not be so specific and just put disinfectant.
No, it just says disinfectant. I thought where it says COVID-19 is with the hand sanitizer, it just says shall be disinfected.
Okay.
I think we just need to clarify if the motion is as drafted or if there's a change that needs to be made.
Yeah, the motion is as drafted.
Second.
Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez.
Yes. Item B, consideration of TANF reserve fund expenditures. Item I, TANF, or number one, grant, TANF grant to child care providers, Colorado Works TANF reserve. Mr. Aragon.
Certainly. Commissioners, I have clarified with the state on several different items that I'd like to communicate to the board this morning. Regarding the TANF reserve funds as well as the TANF program allocations and how those function. I know a couple years ago, Ms. Lopez, the former director, had provided a child care grant to one of our local child care providers here in Los Angeles County. That specific funding was through a separate program that was TANF dollars. However, it did not allocate out of our TANF reserve. In the regards to our TANF reserve funding, that fund is provided to us based on an underutilization of TANF funding for the Colorado Works program. So we have three specific programs that are TANF funded. We have Colorado Works, our CCAP or child care program, and our child welfare grant. The Colorado Works TANF funding is the only TANF funding from the state that we're allotted to roll over for an underutilization into our TANF reserve, and then that TANF reserve follows us year to year. However, each county, based on its size, is provided a cap on the TANF reserve. And so for Los Angeles County, our TANF reserve cap is $385,000. Currently, we sit at $361,000 and some change. Because of that, we will be underspent about $150,000 in Colorado Works TANF funding for fiscal year 1920. And so we would only stand to gain about $22,000 of that $150,000, and the rest of that would then return to the state. My concern is that I would prefer to utilize that funding as best as possible for a larger impact within the community, especially for our child care providers who have been struggling to, some of them have been struggling to reopen. And so what I am proposing today, after speaking with the state, we can utilize the Colorado Works TANF funding in order to provide some cash-based granting towards our child care providers. And additional to that, we would look at exhausting about $85,000 of that $150,000 there over to them. Additional to that, we would look at doing an additional stipend payout, which is the next consideration. We'll get to that in a minute. But we would be able to provide some funding to local Colorado Works families, which is about 80 families. And so that would leave us with a balance of about $30,000 once we exhaust those two components. And of that 30, then we will try and close out whatever remaining TANF items we have left, as well as should the state not be able to backfill the CCAP overage, which we have been told that they have access to the federal, and so that will be covered. We stand to only lose about $10,000 back to the state.
And so you're actually, Mr. Eric, and you're even proposing to, at the end of all the plan that you have in place, is actually to put back about $20,000 on the reserve as well, correct?
Correct, which would take us to our cap of $385,000. So we technically would fill our TANF reserve up. We'd be able to provide grants to the local care providers and also provide a stipend payout to our Colorado Works families with that funding, so that we don't, I'd rather use it than lose it. That's a real thing.
Sure.
Mr. Aragon, if I remember correctly, I don't know if you've looked into it or not. I'm wondering if this is not the same program we used last year to provide, I think it was $350 to $400 for school clothes for the youth in our community. Is this the same funding mechanism we use for that, if you recall, or if anybody from the board recalls?
It is, sir, it is. The Colorado Works also funds that proponent, but that does not happen until August, which would go under our new fiscal year allocation, which begins July 1.
Okay, that was prompting me to ask that question, so you answered it. So we will have funding available to offer that as well come August, correct?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions or concerns?
No questions.
And just so the commissioners know, I do have communication via email from the state confirming this process for the backfill, so that we have documentation of the use of these funds by the state and approval.
Mr. Ergan, then since it's already the 26th of June, are they allowing or extending? I know they're, is this particular program, I'm sure it's July 1, June 30th, correct, fiscal year?
Correct, but the state has already given me information that as long as we submit a documentation, which I have done so to encumber those funds, as of July 1, those funds will remain there until we get that payment out.
Great.
Approximately how many families do you think we're going to be able to assist with that, Mr. Aragon?
Well, again, out of our child care providers, that's, it's a large number. We calculated the number of children at each of the facilities. It probably totals close to about 350 kids. So we'd be providing to about 350 kids. I would say half of that is families, so about 150 families there, as well as to the stimulus payments for the Colorado Works clients. Again, that's about 80 households that we would be providing a $500 stipend to which totals about $40,000 for all of those homes.
That's a good chunk of change to assist locally instead of sending it back to the state. So, we have any more questions or concerns?
I want to make a comment, Mr. Aragon. You know, thank you. That was a pretty well drafted plan, and I appreciate the detail that you provide, and that certainly benefiting the local families is just a great opportunity. Now, we know that this is not, is this going to be kind of somewhat tied up with a Senate bill that was approved just a couple of weeks ago for the $500 one-time cash coming from the state TANF reserve? Are some of these families going to be able to get either or both?
They will actually be eligible for both.
Okay.
Yep. And one thing I'd like to reiterate with the board is that in the past, when we have done child care grants, there were guidelines by the state that required reporting as to the use of those funds. We have reached out to our child care provider that we gave that to get that documentation, as it was not followed up on. I will let the board know that, so we are working on that. However, moving forward, there will be a much more transparent process with this. We are working on a quarterly report for expenditures of these funds that we provide to the child care providers. They will be required to work with our CCAP employee here at DHS in order to report that information, which we will then document and also send to the state, so we can actually track where those funds are being spent and that they're being spent appropriately for audit purposes.
I think that is a great grant type format. I really support that.
And additionally, we also opened it up beyond the contracted care providers we have. We provided it to any care provider within Los Angeles County, and we've had a couple that were not within the care CCAP program apply as well. So we'd actually be able to impact some of the school districts as well.
Okay, any more questions or concerns regarding the Colorado Works expenditure? Entertain a motion at this time, please.
I would make the motion to use the TANF reserve fund expenditure for the child care providers grants. I guess that's how to word it.
I second that motion.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item D, consideration of single entry point interagency agreement with Huerfano County Department of Human Services. Mr. Aragon.
Sir, could I just back up real quick? Did we approve both of those items at once, or are we approving those separate? For the Colorado Works child care and the TANF Colorado Works families.
The way I read it, it was under under one item.
Okay.
So combined together, because the way I read it was consideration of Colorado Works expenditure and item one, stimulus payment to Colorado Works clients.
Okay, perfect, thank you. Item D, about a month ago, commissioners, I sent forth last month, I sent forth the state level contract for a single entry point program. We have to recertify every year with the state in order to provide, again, that's our long-term care, either in a facility or home-based for our adult services. In addition to that, we have in the past always provided services to Huerfano County. It's the only bi-county program that we provide, as there is a minimum required number of clients in order for a county to carry that. Huerfano does not have that capacity, and so we take them under our wing. And in front of you today is a standing agreement regarding the operations and distribution of revenue for the single entry point program between us and Huerfano County. This contract was sent forward to Ms. Nelson for review. And we have to renew this on an annual basis. So in front of you is for the 2021 fiscal year.
Mrs. Nelson, do you have any questions or concerns to the board?
I've reviewed the agreement and I have no concerns with it as presented.
Any questions from the board?
I'm Mr. Aragon on section 7, section A, where it talks about where from account it will be paid accordingly to their actual monthly expenditures not to exceed $15,000 per month. Is this a capped funding dollars that, is that why the $15,000 per month is there? I mean, what if they had the need to exceed that? How would that take place?
So if they exceed their $15,000, which I will let the board, has not actually happened, but should they need to exceed that, the SEP funding is 100%, and so should we need to request additional coverage, the state will backfill that as well. This is just to indicate that we are trying to keep a limit on the number of contact and services, because as we move forward with the fee-for-service rate, we will need to make sure that we're more accurate in that reporting mechanism. And so it's maintaining that they stay within that frame, also because their staffing does not allow for anything that would probably exceed that amount.
Okay, and then on item B, so that's kind of where I was speaking of. If adjustments either up or down occur from the federal or state funds, basically you will be the one making the adjustment in communication with the Warfarin director.
Correct.
I have no further questions.
Mr. Aragon, just to enlighten the board, if you can recount or maybe you've investigated this, how long has this distribution agreement been in place between the two counties? Have you had time to research that?
1995.
Mr. Bertolino is here with me, and I'll let him speak to that, gentlemen.
That started back in 1995 when the state decided to invoke the single entry point concept. And at that time, you had to have at least 200 cases in order to stand alone. And at that time, we did not have 200 cases, so we had to join with another county. And we submitted a plan to the state at that time, which they accepted. And this has been going on since 1995.
And Mr. Bertolino, are we able to meet that the 200 cases required?
We are way over the 200 now.
Okay.
Right.
Gentlemen, if you'll recall from the board meeting earlier this month, that program roughly has about 430 plus clients in it. So we are well above that minimum of 200.
My next question would be, is it a burden to our Department of Human Services in Los Angeles County to still be joined with Huerfano County? Is it a hindrance to us in administrating this distribution?
I don't believe so, sir. We have an annual audit conducted, and we did have some financial reporting concerns with Huerfano County. However, we have been able to resolve that. Ms. Coverly was a huge assistance to that process for the SEP audit. And so we have made the adjustments with Huerfano County to ensure that the records that they are sending to us are appropriate for the state for reimbursement. Outside of that, we really don't have any concerns, and I don't think Mr. Bertolino would share any of those either.
No, Huerfano County has been readily available for any concerns that we have. They submit their reports to us timely for case counts and anything we ask of them.
Very well, thank you. Do we have any other questions or concerns from the board? Entertain a motion, please.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion for the consideration of single entry point interagency agreement with Huerfano County Department of Human Services.
Second.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. At this time, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn, please.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Thank you, everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you so much. Morning. Have a great day.